downstairs right below us. And if Brother Weaver doesn't get with it and preach a little loud, then we may hear them more than him. And so we'll just throw that out as a challenge. And you may be thinking, why am I listening to a guy that lives in California, used to live in Michigan? Well, one might ask themselves that and have some legitimacy in their argument, but he has wonderful, wonderful ties to Tennessee. And so it has a wonderful, tremendous place in his heart, and I know that he and Miss Weaver love Tennessee, and we're so glad that they're here with us tonight, and I know that you're going to enjoy getting to hear him preach. Brother Weaver, come preach for us. Thank you so much for coming our way.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. It is a great joy to be here tonight. Again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come, and I never take the opportunity to preach lightly, and I love Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I was a freshman at Tennessee Temple College in 1966. Some of you remember that's when George Washington was president, and way back there. And used to drive, I'm from Lynchburg, grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia, and going home for Christmas or going home for something like that and driving up through here and getting on 81 and going all the way up to Roanoke, then going over to Lynchburg. And I used to think, and we heard a lot about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church back in the day, way back there in 66 all the way to 70 when I graduated from the college and 72 from the seminary. And I used to want to come off the highway and come in here and just see it, and I never did get a chance to, and I always wanted to, but just never had the opportunity. And then for a number of years, my wife and I served the Lord down in Athens, Tennessee, with Pastor Jack Scallions. Maybe you've heard of him. He's been there over 40 years, and he's now the pastor emeritus down there. And we serve the Lord down there, and we love East Tennessee, and thank the Lord for East Tennessee, and thank the Lord for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and the unbelievable heritage you have here. And God has gifted you with the wonderful pastor. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
Amen. And you're looking forward to many, many great things, and I am too, and looking forward to hearing what God is going to do here. One of the many perks of traveling, and my wife and I have been doing this for almost 22, 23 years, traveling for Bible college. We've been all over the place. And every night's a special night. Somebody said, well, Toby, what's the best service you ever had? The next one. Or the one I'm in. And I'm excited about this one. And I want to thank Brother Wade and Leslie Farmer for their friendship. And one of the perks of traveling, you get to meet new people and make new friendships. And we have with Brother Wade and Miss Leslie. And thank the Lord for Elizabeth being out at the college. And is it Andrew, your son? Is that his name, Andrew? Andrew, good guy, cuts all that grass out there. Every time I see that, I think and pray for Heavenly Father, help Andrew cut that grass. And so all that. And so I love you, man, and good to see you. And thank you for taking care of the young ladies while we're here. I failed to say that those CDs back there, they're $10 a piece, but if you'll buy five, I'll give you one tonight, okay? So that's the deal. Well, I love the Bible. And Brother Tommy, on March the 12th, our executive vice president got up in chapel and said, we're going to send all the young'uns home. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. And I sat in my office and choked up as I saw cars leaving campus and vans heading to LAX and Ontario Airport and Burbank Airport and busloads of kids leaving campus. My heart was full and I was just choked up because I just love the college so deeply and what God is doing there and our church, like you love your church. And then I got home and turned the TV on, and I learned that if you're over 55 in California, they'll lock you up and throw the key away. And so my wife and I were really, really secluded. I mean, really secluded. I mean, for 50 days secluded. And I can tell you what's on every Andy Griffith episode. I can name them backwards. I can do it. Or Gunsmoke, or The Rifleman. The Rifleman, that's the one right there. We've got those down. Or playing Rummy Cube. You ever played Rummy Cube? That game is out of the pit. I'm going to tell you right now it is. And we play that one. And what's that other game we played? Rummy Cube? What is it? Skip Bow. And I have become a professional Skip Bow player, you know. And then finally we got to go back to work. And I went back to work and I sat in my office and looked out the window and it had a great time. But during the time we were at home, I worked. My office was over in the corner in our living room. Had my Bible, had Warren Wiersbe's expository notes, and I studied the Old Testament all the way through. And I began reading carefully some passages that I love, and that's where I want to turn our attention to tonight. And something God did for me, and I think He'll do it for you, as we continue the COVID journey. And God willing, pretty soon we'll be able to do whatever, what will be the new regular whatever. And I'm excited. I think God has something very special. He's gotten my attention. How about you? He's gotten my attention. And maybe that's what he needed to do. Maybe he just said, Toby, I want to get your attention. I'm going to provide a unique way to do that. And I would have never chosen that, but I'm not the Lord, but I trust the Lord, don't you? And so this is not a mistake. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, briefly please, to the book of Colossians chapter 4. The book of Colossians chapter 4, if you would please. I'm not a very long-winded preacher normally, and my wife stares at me when I say that, but I'm not. And I promise you, but I did hear about the preacher who said, I'm going to preach a brief message tonight. You know, he's one of those Baptist preachers, and he said, I'm just going to preach a brief message tonight. And so it was like tonight, you know, 7:33, you know. So he gets up, man, he lets it go, preacher. And 7:30 became 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock became 8:30, 8:30 became 9, 9 became 9:30, and about 9:45, a fellow sitting about where you're sitting, brother, just had all he could take, and he got up and started walking out. He just couldn't take it anymore. And the preacher made it and said, hey, what do you think you're doing? Guy said, I'm leaving, man. And the preacher said, you can't do that. That's rude. And the fellow said, you talk about rude. You said you were going to preach just a brief message. Man, it's almost time to get up. 9:45, man. And it made the preacher mad. And he said, well, what do you think you're doing? Where do you think you're going? And the fellow said, I'm going to go get a haircut. And the preacher said, you should have done that before church. And the guy said, I didn't need one then. You know? And so I'm going to be sensitive to the time thing. I promise you that. But I do want to be a blessing tonight. And I want to encourage God's people. I want to encourage pastors and young men like Brother Tommy and Miss Rebecca and God's people who come to church on Wednesday night. You're the backbone of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This is the church. And I think we have opportunity that's unbelievable in front of us to be the church. And let the church be the church. Let's look, please, at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying. That's the second time he's mentioned that. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God, truth, no error, perfect. And may tonight, as we flee back to the Bible, I pray that the Bible would change us. And that we wouldn't just be emotionally driven, but we would be spiritually driven. And we would look to Christ and you alone. For you are Christ and you are Lord. And I pray you bless Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church like never before. Thank you for Pastor Herdman being led here. Bless his dear family. Bless this church body, this family tonight. As we think about things that will pave the way for great things, I believe, in my own heart. At West Coast Baptist College, at Lancaster Baptist Church, and Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and down in Athens at Fairview Baptist Church, and churches like ours. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Seasoned with salt. That's an interesting metaphor. Seasoned with salt. I like salt on everything, even ham. You know, country ham, I put salt on. My wife says, what are you doing? So I'm putting salt on the ham. She said, it's pretty salty to begin with. And I just like salt. It brings out the flavor. And the Apostle Paul here is saying that our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man, how I need to answer my wife, our two sons, our seven grandchildren, the hundreds of students who come to West Coast Baptist College. And I'm not a tech guy. Those kids sitting over there, they can make a cell phone get up and walk around that van. It's amazing. It's a computer, you know. It's just, they're whiz kids on those things. It's just, I'm going good night in the morning, you know. I'm glad I can make a phone call or text or whatever, you know. But I have something that they don't have. I have years. I have victories. I have losses. I have wins. I have euphoric experiences. I have times where I've had to look up to see bottom. Have you? It's church, y'all. It's church, y'all. Okay? It's church, y'all. Time to have church. And I don't want to be the same guy when I walk out them doors in a few minutes that I was when I came in. I need something. I turned 74 next month, and Rita and I will be married 50 years next month, and I want God, I'm begging God to give me more, get to give me strength, give me more years, and it's just not emotional hype. It means I've got to have something way down in the depths of my heart. And I can't get that. I can't get that just from outward stimulus. It's got to come from that book right there. And prayer. And if we will spend more time in prayer than watching CNN and Fox, we're going to be a lot better off. If we'll spend more time in prayer than fretting and worrying and chewing our fingernails all the way down to our elbows, then we're going to do a lot better in Lancaster, in Gray, anywhere. And I began thinking about this, seasoned with salt, this metaphor. And I jotted down on this sheet of paper this morning just a few thoughts, and I'll share them with you, and we'll be done for the evening. We'll move on. I want to challenge you to think about words that are lasting. Words that last, like I love you, like I forgive you, like, hey, we're good. We just need to go around with a forgiving, loving revival. I said we need to go around with a forgiving, loving revival. We do something on tour that's sort of unique. If we pass and a guy's got that sign out there, or a lady, I'm hungry. Well, people have been kind to us. We're a rolling snack bar. That van is a rolling snack bar. And by the end of the summer, if I don't weigh 400 pounds, there's not a cow in Texas. Because I'm gonna light into that stuff, man. But everywhere, when I see that sign, it does something to me. Do you know those people are hungry? We won't give them money, but man, you talk about grub, man. And every time we do, we hand them a track or her a track, and we give them plenty of food. And we stopped today, and a man, he was just beat up. Somebody had just whipped that guy to pieces, and he could hardly move. And I rolled the window down and gave the fist bump and gave him that track. You say, well, he ain't nothing. That's a problem today. I'm telling you, Jesus loved everybody. He loved the fallen woman. He loved the wealthy. He loved the down and out. He loved the drunkard. He loved the prostitute. He loved the hurting ones. Didn't matter to him. And I was just a bus kid. Just a bus kid up in Lynchburg. And Mom and Daddy were divorced. Mama had left us. We didn't have anything. Daddy never drove a car. We didn't have anything. We had nothing but an old little ratty house, and Daddy did the best he could, but he was 100% disabled World War II vet. He would have seizures, and he was just broken. He was a broken man, but he did the best. But my little brother and I got mad and got mean, and man, we just got dirty, stinking mean. And we let everybody know about it. But we could play ball. We were playing ball one afternoon, and this young preacher pulled his car out on the mound, on the ball field, and he got out way back there in the late 50s or early 60s. And he said, my name is Jerry Falwell. Nobody here can hit my fastball. And we couldn't. And after we struck out 100 times, he said, if any of you boys will come to church Sunday morning with Maisel and me, my wife, I'll give you a brand new baseball. I'd never seen one, much less held one. I said, and I stuttered. I said, yes. And he picked my little brother and me up in our ratty old house, and he loved two little old snotty-nosed boys to Jesus. Now, I ain't much, and I know it, but there are a bunch of Toby and Leroy Weavers running around Gray, Tennessee. They're everywhere. And they're dying for somebody who's authentic and who will love them and bring them to Jesus. And now these decades later, I'm preaching at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The kid, the teacher said, you're just stupid, shut up. And I'd go, shut up yourself or I'll beat your head in. And you get kicked out of school that. Now I'm like 19 in the fourth grade, man. You know, I'm telling you, but God's been good to me. I got saved, and they introduced me to Tennessee Temple College and went down there, and started praying, got right with God, and started praying for a wife, and working for Sears Roebuck down on Market Street in Chattanooga, and the phone rang, and a guy said, "Hey, Toby, let's double date tonight." And I said, "Can't, man. I don't have a date." He said, "I'll fix you up." I said, "Nuh-uh." I had one date, one blind date. Danny, she was 6'4". And at Temple girl, and she was flirty. And it was a mall date. And she was real flirty. She kept trying to hold my hand, so we're walking around the mall like this. You know? And I said, "No, Greg." I said, "Okay, who is it?" He said, "Rita Ford." And she and I had that blind date that night. 11 months later, we got hitched, buddy. We got hitched. And she's been the best thing other than my salvation. Words that are lasting. Rita and I have been married 50 years, and when you're stuck in the house, you know, I was tempted, and she would say, "So what are you doing?" And I want to go, "What's it look like I'm doing?" I'm tempted to do that, you know, but watch out. Words are lasting. You know, we got married down there in McIntyre, Georgia, and I had to learn a whole lot of stuff, man. That honeymoon thing, that first night, I hung my shirt up on the bedpost. And she said, "Aren't you going to hang your shirt up?" And I said, "I did, right there." You learn a lot of stuff, you know. Words that are lasting. Number two, words that are to the Lord. And this is where I want to park a little bit. Words that are to the Lord. Prayer. I spent a lot of time driving, 5 hours today, 7.5 hours tomorrow, 8 hours Saturday, okay, to meetings. And I like it. I really do. Isn't that weird? But I enjoy it. But it's beautiful. I mean, when you live in California where there are no trees in the desert and you come through Tennessee, bring it. Trees, leaves, color, clean air, etc. And these words are to the Lord. Prayer needs to be our highest priority today. Our highest priority. You spend a lot of time praying in the van. A lot of time talking to the Lord. Talking to the Lord, sitting this afternoon over in the beautiful motel that they put us in, beautiful hotel they sent us to, and just talking to the Lord. "Lord, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing to Buffalo Ridge. I want to be a help with God's word." Prayer needs to be my highest priority. Prayer needs to be persistent. Not only the priority, but persistent over and over and over. He's listening. He's listening. He likes to hear my voice. He likes to hear your voice. Is he hearing your voice? Are we being persistent in our prayer for your children, for your grandchildren, for your spouse, for your pastor, for your staff? That God would enable us to reach more people than ever once the smoke clears. Ever. We have not because we need to ask. We need to ask. It needs to be a priority in our lives, and it needs to be persistent. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. You mean even in COVID? That's what it says. I didn't write it, I'm just reading it. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Do you have a prayer list? Do you have a prayer time? I just want to challenge you. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes work. It takes thinking, it takes planning. But we have not because we ask not. And if God's children will bathe this thing in prayer, I believe God will tune in a little bit clearer. It should be our highest priority. It needs to be persistent. And it needs to be prevailing. Prevailing prayer. The Lord spoke to me as I read this weeks and weeks ago and then reviewed it. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest that as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom. How? Toward them that are without, like the unsaved people you work with. Walk in wisdom. Talk in wisdom. In between ministries years ago, I worked for Sears for a while. And then somebody said, "Toby, what are you doing now?" I said, "I'm pastoring the Sears Baptist Church. I'm pastoring the Sears Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida." And the folks in the store actually came to me for pastoral leadership, all the managers, you know. I was Pastor Toby at the store, you know. So I had to watch out. I mean, retailing cussing is pretty prevalent. But I love those people. I love those people like I love those people at Lancaster Baptist Church. I said again, priority, persistent, prevailing. And we're going to hop in the van tomorrow and go back over to Murfreesboro, have a great service. Many of you are going to go to work tomorrow, and you're going to go, you're going to hear God's name taken in vain. You're going to hear dirty stories. You're going to be around vile people. You've got all that and more. You need prayer. We need to be coated and clothed and bathed in prayer. I can't sing like those kids. I could never play the piano like that thing. I can't do a lot of things, but I can pray. And prayer changes things. The thing we need to do more, I really think, is the thing we're doing less, if we're not careful. It needs to be a priority. It needs to be persistent. It needs to be prevailing. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. The other night we were in a hotel, and everywhere we go, Rita talks to the receptionist, the girl or whoever's there. And the other night, she came to the room. She said, she got saved, Toby. She got saved. And I know she prays for that. I know she prays that she'll have opportunity to tell people about the Lord. And isn't it good to have a teacher in a Bible college who's a soul winner? Prevailing. And here's what got me when I was reading this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. And I prayed this prayer one morning. I said, Lord, I said, I need to get a hold of you. And the Lord said, no, Toby, I need to get a hold of you. There's a difference. I said, Lord, I need to get a hold of you this morning. And the Lord said, no, I need to get a hold of you. There's some things you need to fix. There's some things you need to write. There's some stuff you need to do. When you pray like that, God will speak to your heart. He will illuminate some things that I need to fix. Now, maybe nobody else in this room needs to fix stuff, but I'm just about all the time in the fixing mood. Just about. I've got a temper. I'm impatient. I'm greedy. I'm a lot of stuff. Okay? I'm a lot of stuff, and it doesn't take much to light my fire. Are you that way? Anybody else? Am I all alone in that? Hello, church. Church, y'all. It's okay. It's okay to be honest in church with God and with yourself. And to say, okay, I need to tweak some things. And I know what I need to tweak. And when you pray, God will let you know, Toby, fix that. I've made several phone calls before we left on tour. Just to call some folks that I know, just to say, hey, look, I love you, I'm praying for you, wrote a couple of letters and some things, just to have my heart stirred and have my heart right this way. If I'm right this way, I'll be right this way. If we're right this way, and I need to tweak some things sometimes, I need to fix some things sometimes, maybe I haven't been reading my Bible like I know I should. Maybe the Lord said, give to that missionary, and I said, no, I want to get my car washed tomorrow. Or maybe the Lord said, help that student. Take that dating couple out to eat, Toby. You and Rita can do that, and maybe have whatever. Whatever. But I'm just saying, we need to get back to prayer, and we will. Words that are lasting, people remember. Words that are to the Lord, priority, persistent, prevailing. And look at verse 3 in closing. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. Words to the lost. This morning we were all of us in a hotel last night, and I went to the elevator, and the two boys in our group were were getting ready to go in the elevator. And we got on the elevator, and these two great big construction workers got. I mean, great big old beards, the steel hat thing, you know, great big old guys. They got on the elevator, and our two little old skinny boys, you know, they go, like, whoa. And I said, how you guys doing? And the guy said, doing all right. I said, oh, mercy. I said, my name's Toby. I said, I'm a preacher from California. These couple of my boys. And I said, where y'all from? Georgia. And I knew they were, because they said, you all right? You all right? And I said, man, I want to shake your hand. I hadn't heard that in a long time. You all right? Yeah, Mark. And I loved it, you know, because they don't talk like that in California. They don't know how to talk in California. They don't know what, they don't know how to eat Southern stuff. They don't know how to talk. It's pitiful. But if you'll send your kid to West Coast, we'll take them somewhere. We'll have them over. We'll really feed cornbread and beans and cabbage and pinto beans and stuff. You know? You don't know whether to eat it or rub it all over your head. Man, it's good. It's so good. I'm telling you, man. You know? And so I said, hey, guys, I said, I'm a preacher from California. And I said, here's some good news from the Bible. Would you read that sometime today? Yes, sir. Bless you, man. We'll be happy to read that. Now, I've learned something about giving out tracts. Sometimes I get real nervous doing it. I do. You know, I'll go. But here's the good news. They feel sorry for you and take the tract. Bless his heart, you know. So I want to challenge you tonight. Continue in prayer. Greatest thing we can do is tell people about the Lord, read our Bible, continue in prayer, love our spouse, be patient with each other, be patient with our children doing this time, because we're secluded. We've learned a lot of stuff about each other. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, maybe in an elevator, maybe behind the counter, maybe at the gas station, maybe next door, maybe across the street, maybe to somebody that's hurting so badly, hasn't eaten in several days, and he looks in a van and he says, please, please. And there's something that you, Rita bakes cookies and takes, she walks in East Lancaster up and down the street taking cookies to our neighbors and giving the gospel, and folks have come to Lancaster Baptist Church because of cookies. We can do that. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And Paul is writing this in jail. I'm not in jail. We're not in jail. That I may make it manifest as I also speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that it's very plain. It's simple. You've told us that we need to pray, and that if we do, you'll help us give utterance. You'll help us to say the right things. You'll help us. You'll give us courage when we're afraid. You'll give us boldness when we are nervous. You'll help us. And you've promised to supply all of our need. And we trust you tonight. We need you. And thank you again for just a few moments with God's people. I've been encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. As you stand together, as our piano player begins to play, and how about you tonight? Would your speech be described by what the Bible says? Or would we need to work on it? He started off by talking about how our speech ought to be to each other. And then our speech, of course, to the Lord as he continued in prayer and talked about how it ought to be persistent and prevailing. And so how is your speech toward those that are here and then also to the Lord? Perhaps God spoke to your heart tonight and you'd like to use this altar. It's open to you tonight. And as she continues to play, if God spoke to you, would you step out and come and just do business with the Lord? Whatever your need is, and if you're here this evening and not sure that you're saved, Brother Reaver preached about our speech and relationship with the Lord and speaking to him. You say, Brother, I'm not even sure that I have that access. I'm not even sure that I would be able to. But you're not sure tonight you're saved, and if that's you tonight, you've been burdened maybe for weeks now that you need to be saved, would you step out and come? Somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. If you're watching on the live stream, the number's in front of you there that you can call, and we'd be glad to help any way we could. As she just plays through a little bit more, if God spoke to your heart, would you come? Father, thank you for letting us have a little time with some friends. Thank you for the good singing tonight. Thank you for the great message, dear Lord. Just the reminder that, Lord, our speech does matter. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help that stay on our hearts and stay on the forefronts of our mind, that, Lord, we ought to act and speak like children of yours. Bless us, we pray, and we'll thank you for all the things you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Scott Martin to come up. If you may be